everyone, and welcome back to the Abroad Pod, your go-to podcast for all things abroad. I'm your host, Nicole, and today's episode is episode number 15, meaning that is actually my last episode of season one. So to conclude my first season, I will be doing a Q&A today and answering a bunch of questions that you guys wrote in over Instagram, and then just a few that I've stockpiled over the past couple weeks. So let's get into the episode. Bunch of questions in front of me on my phone here, and I'm going to start with some more basic ones and then get into the travel specific questions. So first, where am I from? So I live just outside of Boston, Massachusetts with my family, and that's where I'm currently living now. Someone asks, am I in college? No, unfortunately not. I actually just graduated college this past May from Fairfield University in Fairfield, Connecticut. And in case anyone was wondering, I had a double major. So I graduated with a communication and international studies major with a minor in marketing. And I miss college more than anything. Someone asked, how old am I? I am 22. I just turned 22 in July. Let's see. Someone asks, why do I do this? Great question. I often ask that myself. So just to give a little background, I traveled a lot in college. Like I said, I just graduated in May. So I started in 2016 and I did study abroad 3 times in college, 2 full semesters, which I'll get into that in a little bit because I have some questions about that. And then a 10-day short-term program to China. So I traveled a lot in college, and I started a travel blog, which is now theabroadblog.com, during my first semester abroad in Florence, Italy, and I have been working on that for a while and decided a podcast would be kind of a fun project that would coincide with the blog. So if you don't want to read, you could listen. I figured that way having kind of like 2 formats would give everyone the opportunity to learn something new in whichever way you prefer. Also, I decided to start this podcast this past May, right around graduation, but as we all know, COVID has been going on since March, and we were in a deep quarantine back this spring, so I basically decided to make this my quarantine project and have stuck with it. So now it's September and here we are. But maybe that just gives some background on why I'm doing this. So yeah, travel is like a huge passion of mine, and this and my blog are both passion projects, and it's also just super fun. Also, I guess I could mention that you all know what I studied in college, so this kind of coincides with my interest. And then I have a job right now in like media, social media and marketing. So this also coincides. And then in the future, if I want to continue to work like a global media role, anything like this would really help me. So it's kind of a way of building a portfolio and expanding on my skills. So that is the long-winded answer as to why do I do this? Okay, let's see. Another kind of basic question. How do I edit my Instagram photos? It's a fun one, and here's the secret. So I use something called a preset. If you guys don't know what a preset is, don't worry. I didn't until about a year ago. And a preset is basically like, I'm going to use the word again, but it's basically a like preset filter. So it's a filter that has already been edited completely. So the brightness has been adjusted, the saturation has been adjusted, clarity, all that, and you just apply it to your photo. So you can do something called a one-click edit. So I will literally upload a photo into Lightroom, hit the preset I want and it will immediately edit everything. But of course you have to adjust it a little bit because some photos have more shadows than others and whatnot. So the simple answer is I use a preset. Now, there are like thousands of presets out there. Most digital creators that I follow online have their own preset packs. It's just a way for them to make some money by selling a product online. So I bought Haley Anderson's. Her Instagram handle is like Haylsla, I'm not sure how to say that, but it's Haylsa. And she is an Australian travel blogger, content creator, influencer, if you will. I put that in quotes. And yeah, I love her and I love her editing style. She's super inspiring. She's like 27 and she travels with her boyfriend Kyle all around the world. And I love her feed. It's just super colorful and happy. And yeah, she really inspires me. So I bought her presets right before my second semester abroad to Australia. So that would have been about January 2019. And I've been using them ever since. And I will say my feed has gotten better. So definitely recommend. The last thing I'll mention is I bought her Ultimate Mobile Pack. So I edit with the Lightroom app just on my phone. You can do it on your desktop, but that's a little more time consuming. And honestly, most of my photos I just take on an iPhone anyways, so it's quite easy to just edit them on the phone. But you do have to pay for them, but honestly, I thought it was so worth it. It was $28 and I have them for life now. And it came with like 15 different edits. So definitely recommend. Alrighty, now to get into some of the travel specific questions. So the first is a fun one, and that is, what is your favorite place on earth and why? So if you ask any traveler this question, it is going to be a very difficult one to answer because there are so many beautiful places out there. But I would have to say my favorite and one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to is definitely Australia. So I did study abroad in Australia, so I lived there for about 5 months, and I was fortunate enough to see a lot of the country, and it honestly just blew me away. Like every place I saw, the landscapes were some of the most beautiful I've ever seen, whether it was like the coastal cliffs or the desert and like the red sand in the Australian outback. And underwater too, I did a lot of snorkeling and scuba diving when I was abroad. So seeing all the live coral and colorful fish in the Great Barrier Reef, it is just like nothing I've ever seen before. Also, Australians are super nice. There's also like a big focus on a healthy lifestyle over there. So a lot of people have great work-life balance, are always outside, eating well, the food's super fresh, the weather is awesome, it was sunny and warm most of the time I was there. The beaches are beautiful. So yeah, Australia is really just the total package. So that is my favorite place on earth. My favorite country, however, and a place where I would want to live, you know, for the rest of my time is the United States. I have been living here my whole life and I love it. There's so much to do. We have such a diverse landscape here as well. From New England is so different, for example, from the Southwest, like Arizona and Utah and the national parks. We also have beautiful beaches in Florida. We have the Pacific Northwest. We have Alaska, Hawaii. Yeah, we really have it all. So the US is my home and always will be. And I got a similar question to that one, and that is my favorite trip I've been on and why. So I'll start with favorite trip with my family, because my family does like to travel together each year. And the most epic trip we've done so far was a Scandinavian cruise. It went all around the Baltic Sea, and we were gone for 2 weeks. And we're able to visit 8 countries, because the countries are very small and very close to one another. So basically each day on board was a new port, and each port was a new country. So we flew into Copenhagen, Denmark for that trip, which is one of the most incredible cities in the whole world, I think. So many bikers, so many colorful buildings. It's such a clean city. It is great. Definitely recommend. So we flew into Copenhagen, and then we went to Germany. So we were in Berlin. We went to Estonia, St. Petersburg, Russia, Finland, Sweden, Norway. I think I got them all. Yeah, so that should be like seven or eight. But it was an epic trip and really, really special times with my family, which is my mom, my dad, my sister, Lindsay, by the way. And then, let's see, my favorite trip I've ever done with friends was probably when I was studying abroad in Australia. Me and four other girls rented a camper van in Tasmania for 4 or 5 days and went all around the island, and we just had the best time. It was so fun. We stayed at different campgrounds each night, and we had no idea what we were doing. Like, the oldest one was 21, and to be able to rent a van like that and figure out how to cook on it and, like, empty the water, like, I don't even know, like, the gray water and, like, use the bathroom and, like, book the campgrounds, like, very impressed that we pulled that off. But yeah, it was so fun. We did wine tastings, hiking, and then each night it was so fun to cook dinner in the camper and like have a bonfire and have wine nights. And one day I remember we were so tired, we built like a mega bed in the back and we were all off our phones, which was like one of my favorite parts of the trip. We were just like out in nature and we were watching the movie and we were laughing and we were like literally ready to go to bed. And I checked my phone for the first time in hours and saw that it was literally 7:40 p.m. And we all started dying laughing. So we're like, well, I guess that's what happens when you're off the grid and you have a very busy day. But yeah, that trip was super fun, and I would love to do something like that again. So segueing into abroad now, I have several questions about it. So the first is, how did I travel so much in college? And to answer that question, like I mentioned earlier, I was able to study abroad. And when you study abroad, you not only get to live and study in a foreign country, but you usually only have class like 3 to 4 times a week, so you're able to travel on the weekends. And especially during my semester abroad in Florence, Italy, which I did fall of 2017. Yeah, fall of my sophomore year. I was able to visit a lot of countries because it's super easy to travel around Europe. I took a lot of overnight buses and they were super affordable and stayed in hostels and saw a lot. So I guess that's the vague answer for that, is studying abroad allows you to travel a lot. Like I mentioned, I also traveled with my family. I did a service immersion trip, which I actually talked about in episode 14, to Ecuador. I did that as a freshman. And yeah, just traveling with friends, like doing some weekend trips around the U.S. And then the last trip I did in college, which I'm so grateful we got in time, was spring break in early March. We went down to the Bahamas for 5 days. So super fun. It's definitely super doable. You just need to take advantage of programs, and especially ones that come with scholarships. I got some scholarships for some of the ones that I did. For example, the service immersion experience, we fundraised, so I only had to pay about $500 out of pocket, so I just worked to pay that. And then my experience in Florence, Italy, it was a new program that came with a scholarship, so we got our airfare covered. So yeah, basically just do research. And something that I really want to mention is to take advantage of traveling in college, because when you have the time to do it, like, you will never have breaks in the working world. You'll have to take PTO, versus in college you have summer and winter break. So take advantage of that time off and go somewhere. And usually college students have part-time jobs and are able to work and save. And like I mentioned, universities offer so many scholarships, so definitely take advantage of it. It's also, I feel like, between the ages of like 18 and 22 are a huge period of growth, and traveling only adds to that. It's a great time to do it and challenge yourself and learn more about yourself and the world. So definitely recommend. I also got several questions about studying abroad twice and how I was able to do that. So you can do this at most schools, and a lot of people don't know that or don't even consider it, because it's typical to go abroad once, if that. Like, a lot of universities, for example, down south, it's really just not in the culture to go abroad at all, but I think it should be. But yeah, basically you can study abroad twice. It totally depends, obviously, on your financial situation. Like I said, I was able to earn scholarships and work, but it hugely, hugely depends on your major and your academic track. If you think about it, in one semester, you usually take, what, between 4 and 6 classes. So if you go abroad for 2 semesters, that's 10 classes. You need to make sure that you can take 10 classes overseas and still graduate on time. So it's super important to make sure all your credits will transfer. It's super important to make sure that the classes that you take abroad will count and that you are able to take certain classes abroad and certain ones on campus. For example, I know a lot of people who have science majors, so for example, like chem or bio, are very limited because they have to take a lot of labs, and you can't really take labs abroad. So it definitely depends on your major. Being a communication major, I definitely had the flexibility to go abroad at least once, and then I was an international studies major as well, and they actually encourage you to go abroad for 2 semesters, or to do like 2 international experiences. So not only was I able to make it work, but I was actually pushed to do it. And a lot of the classes that were required for both my majors, I was able to fulfill abroad. Just an example of that. So like I also have a minor in marketing and I was able to take global marketing abroad. I was able to take advertising in Sydney, which was super cool. I took several history classes abroad. My class in China that I did, my short-term program, was communication between the East and West, and that actually counted for 3 things for me, so that was a bit of a no-brainer. It counted towards my comm major, international studies major, and it filled a world diversity credit that you need to graduate from my school. So, yes, you can study abroad twice. I would look into it early on. Some people spend their entire junior year abroad, so that would be 2 semesters. But if you're looking to do what I did and split it up, you definitely need to start laying out all your classes and, like I mentioned, your academic track, like freshman year, and just figuring out what you need when, and yeah, try to make it work. All right, and I got a couple questions about how to save for abroad. So I already mentioned that scholarships are huge. You definitely want to spend time researching them, but you want to be able to work and save your money. So the first semester I did abroad was fall of my sophomore year, and I am a little biased towards fall semester, especially in Europe, because one, there's Christmas markets, two, the weather is awesome, like autumn in Europe is beautiful, but three, you have your whole summer to prep and save. So I worked that summer between my freshman and sophomore year, probably 50 hours a week between my 2 jobs. One, I was a receptionist at a spa, which was like the most fun job I'll probably ever have. And I worked there especially every weekend, like Saturdays are a huge appointment day, so I'd work 9 to 5 there, and then during the week too. And then I also was part of the event wait staff at a country club, meaning I did a lot of weddings that summer, and those shifts were about 8 hours long, and they're always in the evening, so there was some days I would literally be at the spa. I should mention too, they were in the same parking lot, like adjacent to one another, so I'd be at the spa from 9 to 5 and then change into my tuxedo and walk across the parking lot and work a wedding from 5 to 1 a.m. So basically work and save your money and try to prioritize saving towards travel. So I did not spend a lot of money on clothes that summer or doing like dinners with friends. Like I tried to be a little bit more frugal, and then I wanted to save my money to buy things when I was overseas and travel, of course. So that's what I recommend. There's so many tips out there for saving money, but you know, definitely set aside a good chunk each week and just make sure you're working. And if you are traveling abroad in the spring semester, try to work over winter break. You do have a month off, and that extra, I don't know, $1,000 to $2,000 that you can make in that month really would make a difference. Alrighty, let's see. This is another abroad type question. Someone says, do you have any tips for staying in a hostel for the first time? Yes. So my first tip is to, one, if you're a female, book an all-female dorm for peace of mind. I just prefer them. I feel more relaxed in there. And you know that a lot of females are like-minded. A lot of them are younger backpackers or study abroad students, so you'll be surrounded by a good girl gang. And the other two tips I have are, one, bring a luggage lock. All hostels have lockers so that you can put your things in and lock it up. So make sure you bring a lock. It'll just make you feel better being in a shared room. And then the last one is an eye mask and earplugs. Sometimes, actually all the time, in hostels, people are on different schedules. So, for example, someone could be going to bed at 9 p.m. to get up at 4 a.m. for some epic hike or sunrise. And someone could be tumbling in at 4 a.m. after a night out and plan on sleeping the whole next day. So in a hostel, people are in and out all the time, so definitely have earplugs so you don't hear them. And an eye mask is helpful too, so you can try to sleep a little longer. So those are my tips, but don't be afraid. I think they're great and they're super affordable. And let's see, another abroad question. How to not get sick abroad? Okay, I have a few tips for this. So if you mean just like cold, like run down sick, my tips are, one, eat fruit and vegetables every day. You're going to be drinking a lot. I probably sound like a mom, but you're going to be drinking all the time and, you know, you're going to be eating out, but you need to try to eat healthy and like kind of stick with the routine. Like, don't forget to nourish your body. Emergencies, like your best friend. I took emergency a lot when I was abroad. Anything that you can take to boost vitamin C, definitely do. And then the most obvious tip is to sleep. Your body needs sleep, especially because when you're home during the week in your home city, you probably have to get up early to go to class, but then it's not like regular college where you're doing homework at night. You're probably going out at night too. And then the weekends, of course, are jam-packed trying to see a new place in like 2 or 3 days. So you need to sleep when you can. My advice is to go away from like a Thursday night to a Sunday, and then try to sleep really well like that Sunday night, maybe sleep in Monday a little bit. I was really fortunate in Florence and I did not have classes Monday, so I would usually, you know, still be traveling Monday, but if I came home Sunday night, I literally used Monday to catch up on sleep and like get ready for the school week. So homework and all that happened, but not until like 3 p.m. Like, I slept until like noon. So definitely get some sleep. And then the other tip I have for not getting sick abroad has to do with getting tummy sick, getting sick in your stomach. So if you're traveling to places that are more prone to that, for example, Southeast Asia, I have two tips for that. And one is to take probiotics. They're really good at strengthening your stomach. So for example, if you accidentally have some water that maybe isn't clean or eat something that is a little sketchy, if you've been taking probiotics, your stomach and digestive system are stronger and should be able to handle it. And then also, this was even pre-COVID, bring hand sanitizer and wipes everywhere. Things just aren't as clean in certain parts of the world, so you need to make sure you're wiping down, especially on like an airplane, your seat, and using hand sanitizer every time before you eat. And I guess one last tip I'll just throw in, I didn't write this down, but I'm just thinking about it out loud, is if you're nervous about food in certain places around the world, and this isn't just for abroad, this is for any trip, don't just wing the restaurants. Maybe you do that at home, you're like, oh, this looks good, like, let's check it out. Do your research and look at reviews, because if the food is not great, or people have gotten sick from that place several times, like, people will give it bad reviews. So look up reviews and then make sure the restaurant is full. If you are the only party eating in the restaurant, that is usually a bad sign, especially if there's no locals or tourists in there. So try to eat in other places where there's some tourists and also some locals, and that's how you know it's really good. All right, so I have a couple questions left. This next one is all about blogging. Someone says, I want to start a blog, but I don't know how. Do you have any tips? Yes. So there are a lot of resources out there just stating like how to start a blog. I definitely read a bunch of those and like watched YouTube videos, literally just learning how to set up a page. You need to get a software to host your blog. So I use SiteGround, And then you need an actual website. So people use Wix or Squarespace. I use WordPress and I love it. So that's very basic. And then once you have your website host and your actual site set up, you need to install a theme, and that is basically how your page will look. And you do pay for that, but again, it's something that you buy once. I think mine was like 12 bucks, and now I'll have my website for the rest of time. And basically then you customize it. So I changed the fonts, the colors, I plugged in images, and at that point my blog was essentially set up, and then I just started writing. So those are the very basic tips. It does take a while to kind of get started. Oh, and you have to buy a domain too. So my domain, theabroadblog.com, cost me probably like 10 bucks. But again, now I'm the owner of that domain, and if anyone ever wants it, they need to buy it from me. So those are the basic like setup tips. And then just general tips for blogging. My first is don't look at the numbers for a while. I'm assuming you're starting it because you want to and it's a hobby. Do not start a blog for the money, because it takes a really, really long time to get there. You need like 20,000 people viewing your site at all times to get any sort of ad revenue. So don't look at the numbers for a while. Just do it for fun. You know, stay creative with it. My next tip is stay consistent. The more you can pump out content and get people engaged, the better. That has definitely been a huge push for me this past year. I kind of let my blog go a bit during school. And then for 2020, I've been really working on getting one or two posts out a month consistently. And I've seen a ton of growth from that. So stay consistent and use Pinterest. Pinterest is such an underrated social media tool, in my opinion, and a great way to drive traffic to your site. So for everything you write, you should make it pinnable, and you should create a custom Pinterest graphic that people can save to their Pinterest boards. And I've been doing that, and I've seen so much growth. I was able to grow my Pinterest account to over 100,000 monthly viewers, and all those people were then viewing my blog. So definitely use Pinterest, but bottom line is to just have fun with it. It should not feel like a chore. It's a great hobby. So there you have it. All right, and my last two questions have to do with 2020. How do I feel about travel in 2020? Is it safe? Can I do it? Here we go. So everyone has really mixed opinions on this, and I know a lot of people are going to disagree with what I'm saying and might judge, but I think that everyone can make their own choices here. So I say you need to do it at your own risk. You need to know the risk that you're taking of potentially infecting yourself with COVID and affecting people around you and your loved ones if you potentially bring it home. You need to understand the risk and how serious this pandemic is. If you understand it and are still willing to take the chance and travel, I think you can. It's your choice. If you're over the age 18, obviously. It's your choice if you want to take that risk. And then if you do, you need to do it safely. So I have been traveling. I understand the risk. I am taking the risk. And I am doing absolutely everything I can with that risk to not get sick. So that means wearing a mask 24/7. I'm actually flying in about a week or two for the first time since early March, and I plan on wearing two masks. I don't know if that's going to make a huge difference, but I'm going to do that, have gloves on. I've been sanitizing like crazy. I always travel with hand sanitizer and make sure to wash my hands before eating or ever touching my face, which I usually just try to avoid. And then the last thing that I recommend doing is if I have been traveling, I have been getting tested when I come home. And I did this once so far when I came back from my road trip. And it's mostly for peace of mind, but it's also for my loved ones. Of course, I want to get tested for peace of mind just to make sure I'm healthy and safe. But also, I'm not going to re-enter my home and potentially infect, you know, like my boyfriend, my family, my friends, if I don't know if I'm sick or not. So I think you need to understand that if you do choose to travel, you need to take these precautions and, you know, potentially deal with the consequences. Like, you need to wait in line for 5 hours to get the COVID test. You need to understand that you might get sick, you know? But I do think it is your choice, and a lot of people have been traveling, especially around the EU. I have read so many forums online that a lot of Europeans are acting as if the pandemic never even happened and are just freely traveling to any country they want, not wearing a mask. You know, like, I'm definitely not doing that. I'm staying domestic, but I just think it's important to understand the consequences and to stay as safe as you can, not only for yourself, but for others. So, and then one last thing I want to say about that is if you're feeling ill at all or doubting your own health, you do not go. Like, I've only been traveling if I feel my absolute healthiest. I take my temperature all the time, too. That's another thing. Make sure I don't have a fever before I really do anything. So, there you have it. And no, I will not be traveling internationally anytime soon. I do have a trip booked to Canada. We would be driving to Quebec in December, but that obviously is all dependent on if the border opens, and then I don't plan on flying overseas until at least 2021. So, holding off on that front for a little while. All right, and the very last question that I have has to do with that, and that is, when is your next trip? So I do have a very exciting trip coming up, and that is in mid-September to the Pacific Northwest. So I'll be traveling to Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington with my good friend Matt. And I'm very excited for that, but like I mentioned, we will be wearing a mask at all times, sanitizing. We're staying in hotel rooms, so I checked the cleaning reviews online to make sure that they're like COVID safe. And, oh, the airlines, too. A lot of airlines will allow you to cancel up to 24 hours in advance and get a full refund. And that was super important to us in case we decided to pull out at the last minute due to concern or whatnot. But, yeah, I'm super excited. We are going to see both cities, but we plan on spending a lot of time outside the cities doing socially distant hikes and visiting, like, Cannon Beach, for example, where we can really spread out and just enjoy the scenery. So I'm really looking forward to that, and yeah, super excited. A little nervous to fly, but like I said, I've heard good things. You know, they spread you out on the airplanes, and I obviously would be drinking my own water. Like, I don't get the drinks or the snacks from the flight attendants anymore, and keeping a mask on for the duration of the flight and all that jazz. So that is the last question. Thank you so much to anyone who wrote in questions. I really appreciate it. It's really nice to, I don't know, it just like feels good to have people ask these questions and actually want my advice, you know? And thank you to anyone who has listened and supported me so far through my 15 episodes. This has been so fun and definitely a learning experience, but I feel like at this point I really know what I'm doing in terms of editing and all that, and it's just a good skill to have and something that I'm excited that I know how to do and really love. So with all that being said, thank you for an incredible first season. If you have not subscribed to my podcast yet, please do. It means a lot. And if you really love it, feel free to leave a rating. You don't even have to write anything. You just click the stars. And you can only do that on Apple Podcasts. So if you've enjoyed it so far, it would mean a lot. It's also anonymous, so don't be afraid of that. But thank you guys, and follow me on Instagram to stay updated. My Instagram is at Nicole.Rosania. My last name is spelled Rosania. And just a little note about season 2. We'll be starting in the fall, so that is in about 2 weeks. And I'm not exactly sure of the posting schedule yet. I know I'll definitely be releasing on Wednesdays still. I really like that day. But I'm not sure if I'm going to do every week or every other week. So I'm just going to have to see with my schedule. But I'm super excited. I have so many new ideas. I'm still going to be doing my broad series interviews, and I'm looking for new people to interview. So if anyone's interested, definitely reach out. But yeah, so that's all for this episode and this season. Thank you guys again, and stay safe. Bye.